This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Starting 110, I want to get back to what took place, what didn't take place this weekend when you had a March for Life event. You had kids there who some were wearing Make America Great hats. You had individuals who had a permit to be there for indigenous people. You had the Black Hebrew Israelites who I'd never heard of before, but now I've read more about them. I'm not going to defend them real far, but the reactions early, the reactions afterwards, and the story that is still out there on that. So we'll get to that starting at 1:10. Adam, both of us on air have to thank Lindsay. She brought it today with chili, which is just fantastic. So thank you, Lindsay, for the chili. Chili, by the way, I think is underrated. I'm really going to go to that level. I think too many people emphasize soup over chili. I like chili more than I like soup.
I think chili's properly rated.
I think chili's properly rated. I think people just kind of go the standard route. I think, like,
there's so many different options.
Right. Right.
Now, you tell people about what you brought here.
I just did a sweet potato chili with pork and cauliflower rice and broccoli rice. So you guys got a good portion of veggies for the day.
It was good.
Yep. Black beans.
A lot of hash in it, too.
Kidney beans, lots of hash, some pills I found, just crushed up.
Laxative.
John and I had a really great weekend. No, I'm just no, I have this one at home right now that I'm almost to the end of. I did this garlic broth that I've been working on for a while. So you roast garlic on the stovetop, which I know is not technically how you would roast something, but just roll with it. And then once it's nice and crispy, you blend it with water and a little bit of beef gelatin, so like it gets thick, and you heat it up. And then I did sweet onion and ground beef with just a little bit of cumin, and then green beans, mushrooms, cauliflower rice, and spinach. And it is so good. In fact,
did you come up with that on your own?
Yeah, I just threw it together. It was stuff I had in the fridge.
Ooh.
It's so good. You know what you mix it with? A box of Kraft mac and cheese. Oh my God.
Wait a second. Then you go to the Kraft mac and cheese?
No. Like, I didn't do that every time. Yeah. I maybe just did it like Friday night for dinner as a grown adult woman.
That's
macaroni and cheese.
Adam, I think that's when the hash came into play.
I mean,
when all of a sudden the Kraft mac and cheese came out.
Is there anything better, though, than like loaded mac?
Yeah. Well,
on a cold day, you're like, noodles and cheese is great. Noodles and cheese and like bacon and hamburger and onions. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mentioned this last week. I don't go there very often, but McCoy's is by Quinny's grandma's. And so they have a variety of mac and cheese options. And I know other places do. But yeah, I went there the other day. A little ham, a little chicken, a little peas, a little caramelized onions. Was just fantastic. So thank you for the food. Maybe we just should move in with Lindsay and John, Adam.
You know, that'd be nice.
We'd eat better. I know that. There'd be a lot of cats, though. But
only one cat.
It seems like
that's too many.
Yeah, I know. Too many.
So real quick story. We're actually playing musical cats right now. And this is, okay, so my
that
mom.
That sounds frightening.
My mom has a cat. I have a cat. My sister Kate, no cat. My sister Kate is afraid of my mom's cat.
She's my favorite.
Well, there's so many Gensel girls to pick from.
Yep.
My mom is going to Florida for a month, and someone has to take her cat.
Well, la-dee-da.
She's staying in Mar-a-Lago, too.
Yes, she is. Best friends with Trump. They have matching bracelets. So mom's cat, Betty, needs to have a place to stay. Betty can't stay with us because we can't have two cats together.
Adam, thoughts on... Whoa. Thoughts on the name Betty for a cat?
I like it.
I think it works.
So Kate, the one without a cat who can take a cat,
yeah,
is afraid of Betty. So Kate is taking Pippi, my cat, because she's not afraid of Pippi. And then we're taking Betty. So we're literally moving the orange cat to Robbinsdale, the new prey cat to Crystal for a month.
Carter, I wouldn't be giving up my animal. Would you? Would you be trading your animal?
No.
No, no trading animals.
I get to go visit her in Florida, so I'm not turning this down.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you are the person who, in the last couple weeks, jammed your cat in the Lazy Susan and then left for
lunch.
She
did that on her own. Adam, and in fairness, that was John.
Well, you know who's getting hosed on this deal is Betty. Betty's like, you're going to Florida and leaving me here?
Yeah, why can't...
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, why can't Mom bring Betty?
Because the place doesn't allow pets.
Oh, you keep that on the deal.
Right, I know.
Do they really check?
Would you really want to drive across country with a cat?
No, I don't want to live with a cat at all. So, of course, I would not want to drive with the cat.
But Betty's getting introduced to CBD oil when she comes to our house. That's the plan.
I think we've got a kind of a key.
Maybe you do want to come over.
Yeah, we are moving in, Adam. Maybe we're just stopping by each night. Maybe we're not staying. All right, Mr. Carter has a news update right now.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know.
Okay, I will admit... When, by the way, overrated. When I first saw the picture of the kid from Covington Catholic High School, and he is right in front of the Native American activist, who I'd find out later is Nathan Phillips, and I would find out later that the student, who to me, and I'm admitting how I felt initially. I thought he was looking at him with a smug, smirking, leering, condescending look. I did. And I did think in the few minutes afterwards that you take one picture that fast, who knows what look you capture on someone's face, right? Because somebody could walk in here, and in theory, we could be talking about the most serious thing, but then in the moment, you see something in your phone and you smile a little bit and you can think, oh, jeez, Adam Carter smiling over this major catastrophe that is taking place. And we still have all sorts of confusion on what did take place. Let's get to a couple of the updates today. The news just recently has come out that the President of the United States has invited... How many of the students from Covington Catholic do we know? Lindsay, is it the folks who were at the event or is it the entire school?
Hold on. I got to get down to Laura Ingram exclusive on the Laura Ingram podcast. The Covington Catholic students threatened by the leftist internet mob will be meeting with Donald Trump at the White House as early as tomorrow. It doesn't say anything other than that.
Got it. Then Nathan Phillips, who again was a part of the group behind the Indigenous Peoples March, at first was pushing back on whether he wanted to meet with Nick Sandman. He is now saying he will meet. You also have the news that the school had to close today after receiving threats. Now, until this story was fleshed out a little bit, I was unfamiliar with the Black Hebrew. Why am I screwing up the pronunciation?
Israelites.
Israelites, yes. I screwed that up. Israelites. I have seen a good chunk of this video. I think it maybe goes an hour and a half, so I'm not going to say I've watched all hour and a half. But I've watched a decent amount. And there clearly are parts with the Black Hebrew. Say it again for me.
Israelites.
Israelites are offering insults at a high, high level towards the individuals from Covenant Catholic who are there for the March for Life event. And so I learn about, here's what I'm going to call them from now on, so I'm safer, BHI. The Southern Poverty Law Center, a group that we've had on many times, calls BHI a hate group that is becoming more militant. The Southern Poverty Law Center reports around the country, thousands of men and women have joined the black supremacist group on the extremist fringe of this movement, a black nationalist theology that dates the 19th century. It's always good when you have the white supremacist leader, by the way, Tom Metzger, who says, they're the black counterparts of us. I mean, you really have white supremacists say, hey, you know, we're so awful. We believe here's another equally awful group. But by the way, we disagree on everything possible. So we get to the text, and among the things I see is Chad is exactly the problem. Why does every liberal automatically assume that the kid was at fault? First of all, we can go over the liberal point again for the 10,000th bleeping time. I voted for Republican for president. I didn't vote for Franken once, didn't vote for Dayton one time either. I vote for Republicans. I vote for Democrats. I think the president is a pathological liar who has the moral character of nothing. Okay, that's my point with the president. I'll fully admit, because of the condescension and the smugness of some white supremacists and others wearing the MAGA hats towards people of color, I've been influenced. Now, Alyssa Milano today comes out and says the MAGA hat has basically replaced, what, the white sheet, right? That's pretty much what she said. That's ludicrous, okay? I do not believe every single person ever wearing a MAGA hat is then a white supremacist or a white nationalist. I think this administration, let me be precise. I think this candidate and his candidacy played, let's say, a little fast and loose with that group and with the rising of that group. And the pinnacle was on Charlottesville when it was just a no-brainer. And if you had a fully functioning brain, you could come out and call out what was happening. And the president tippy-toed around it because he didn't want to upset some of the extremists who have voted for him. Again, the overwhelming number of people who vote for Donald Trump are not white supremacists. But he doesn't call out the other side because they helped him. So we now do have differing views. And from the video, which has come out, it does appear clear to me from what I've seen so far that the BHI was much more of the aggressive group in the comments compared to the Covington kids. And then you had Phillips coming in his view, to try to diffuse the situation. But we got people just automatically now leaping to other conclusions also. I'm fully admitting, because we've seen this many times. You think the president is not trying to wrap this all around him and turn this all about him and fake news and anything comes out there? Can we just examine his campaign and what they've done with some elements of supporters of his that he never calls out at all? I deplore what is happening at the school and any threats. There still are some reports that some kids were saying build the wall. Those reports, none of the video backs that up. Zero of it so far backs that up. Okay? And when it's racist insults from this black supremacist group, they deserve, to me, at this point from what I've seen, the overwhelming majority of the criticism. Could the high school kids have backed away, I guess? They could have. Are there parts of their statements where I've wondered a little bit? Yeah, there are some things. But let's watch ourselves on correcting, because I'm fully willing to admit where I stood. But let's watch ourselves in wrapping our arms around everything and trying to make it leap to leap to leap, as opposed to just judging one situation on its own. Because if we want to go pecking order and go all the way down with media accounts and Donald Trump and his comments and his lies and his belittling and his bullying, and I get to point out the facts as opposed to the president lying, I'm going to kill you on facts and what the president says and how much he lies. So if you want to do, if you want to go after the media and go after people saying we leapt to the conclusion wrong or other citizens leapt the conclusion wrong, go ahead. You're telling me you don't either, including this texter. Oh, it's just a liberal. So don't act like you're not somebody who has a tendency to judge something or potentially can judge something and feel one way. And then the question is, do you then explore it enough to see what else is going on there? Because so often on both sides, and in particular on the Trump side, it's okay, it's this. And then even when you're presented with fact after fact after fact, you still don't change your damn opinion. So let's get some feedback here. I want to see what Adam and Lindsay have to say on this one. You want to chime in, you can. 81807. Again, 81807. That's how you text. What's that? Oh, something else. Okay. Or phone call, 651-989-9226. Let me try this one more time. Some people are just morons, honestly. Some people just don't listen. Ooh, I can hear the anger in your voice when you finally admitted that you're part of the literal media fake news. It's liberal, by the way. Don't worry, you'll be okay. Admitting is the first step. Again, then we can judge, you know, how I voted or how I've called out other sides. How about last week when I called out Representative Ilhan Omar? And we did like about an hour on it. How about when I called out Representative Cortez on the tax plan? How about when I talked about how awful Hillary Clinton's campaign was? How about how I voted for Republican as congressman over and over again? The guy in the White House, I have a problem with his character. I have a problem with this lying. I have a problem with this bullying. I have a problem with this denigrating people. I don't hate him. I'm paid to give my opinion. That's how this works. If you only want a show where it's just going to either support one party or the other, no matter what, you have the wrong show. You have plenty of options. We had somebody here who was trying to run the place and wanted only hard right views. And I told him, you got the wrong guy, right? He's gone. We're here. We could be gone tomorrow. I have no idea. So put in the work, plenty of work. You may not agree with it, but if you don't think, if you think it's from lack of work and lack of information, you're wrong. I'm being honest about my first reaction. I then put in a fair amount of work to see what was going on. And again, I'm seeing more videos where people are contending. There was build that wall and other comments. And again, I'm placing the overwhelming amount of blame on this supremacist group. I'm also saying, isn't it convenient how the president is doing this to benefit himself? He's not really rallying. You think he'd be rallying the same way, ladies and gentlemen, if this was a story that some of the perceptions initially may not be the same now, if it wasn't kids wearing MAGA hats? Because I can assure you, there's zero chance. There's no chance. Okay, you guys chime in. Lindsay, you first. Initial thoughts, where we're at now, and the reaction.
I am with you in the same sense that immediately I was outraged and I saw what I wanted to see, which was a disrespectful little punk acting like a fool. Everything that's come out afterwards, I think there's a much bigger story to it. I also think it's a sure sign of the danger of social media in 2019, of how quickly things can spread and how quickly they can be misconstrued or push down a certain path depending on who's the person putting it out there. That being said, there have been other videos that have come out that show the same young men doing disgusting things in Washington, D.C. And so I just, a part of me wonders, you know, I went to D.C. when I was in eighth grade and we had chaperones. And I just, I don't understand where the adults were in this situation. I think it's a mess. I think it's a PR mess. I think people who are threatening the school and threatening these young teenagers, I think it's disgusting. I think it's despicable.
It's criminal.
At the same time, it's like you aren't helping the cause. If the cause here, like let's just pull it all away. If the big story is there is a kid who is being racist and disrespectful, if that is the story, then you're not helping it by calling the school and calling in a bomb threat or threatening some 16-year-old kid. In fact, you're making it worse, and you're making the people who actually care about the bigger issue have to do more work.
Adam?
Two things. The social media aspect of it, especially news yesterday, you know, that this quote-unquote, you know, teacher from California who spread this video, actually somebody in Brazil, we're getting played on social media. Like a fiddle, both sides.
And it's all sides, by the way. The sides who feel like we're being open-minded on this, or the sides are well to the right or well to the left.
And, you know, whether it's Russia orchestrating this or just random groups doing this on social media, it's working like a charm, and it's absolutely throwing discourse, everything just in disarray. Second of all, just to add to Lindsay, I get it. It's a Catholic school that wanted to participate in a March for Life.
Which they're allowed to do.
Absolutely. And that's part of the Catholic faith and what being taught. But the lack of any sort of chaperones around there to get those kids out of that situation when there was some awful things being shouted their
way. Awful words shouted towards
them. Awful words. If I'm a chaperone around those kids, I'm like, I'm sorry, we're moving out of here. And we're going to come at a different time. If we want to see the Lincoln Memorial at a different time, we'll certainly do that.
Even if it's not
get
their fault at all.
Get them out of there. Right. Absolutely. So that is just mind-boggling to me that where's the supervision of these kids? Because I was that same age, too. A white punk kid who didn't know any better. And I did some pretty stupid things when I was a kid.
And also,
God help
happening.
Me if there would have been social media around.
Right.
Caught me doing some things. Because I was 16, 17 years old, and a moron at that age is what you are.
How about now?
I'm still a moron, but I try to, control it better.
Yeah.
You use the delete button more.
More conscientious about what I shouldn't say. But, there's enough other things going on to information coming about this school and the kids dressing up.
The only thing on that, because I first saw that and I got worried. Then it turns out it was a Friday night game where it was, let's all black.
No, I get
don't
that,
even,
though.
Don't even start down the line. If we're all going to black out and we're going to do blackface. Like, come
no, but I saw the video where all the kids are head to toe. I've seen that at other events. Sports teams with the white out and the black out, that happens all the time. Do I think every kid who went head to toe because the team said we're going to all dress black for this rivalry is automatically racist? I don't.
No, but
there's some kids, though, that had the white, but then they paint their
white
eyes.
Okay, so that's fair.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say every kid who was dressed head to toe black is doing that just to mock African Americans.
I'm saying if they're at a basketball game, a school sponsored basketball game dressed like that,
fair.
If somebody isn't yanking them out of there going, what the hell are you doing?
Right. When that part of it, correct. But I heard somebody say, all the kids there who are doing this is an example of the whole school. And I'm like, no. We can the individuals who are going off the stereotype 100%. Let's get to a few of the texts here. Agree with the chat. Should have studied why people are offended when point out truth and facts about this president. Next ask, you should become a liberal. I mean, everyone thinks you are. No, they don't. It's the folks who are hypnotized by the president who believe his lies, because I can show you the numerous, endless amount of texts from liberals who get mad at me, too. Trump was hired to do a job, not win a personality contest. Okay, well, that has nothing to do with any of the comments I made. Don't lie. Don't belittle people. Actually negotiate, get something done with the other side. The inability of people who have definitive proof in front of them to acknowledge truth is the most perplexing thing of the landscape.
You said facts, facts, facts. That seems to be the issue leftists come up with. All the facts for 2 years. Again, I don't give a damn about the political left. I give a damn about what I see in pointing this out. The teen's threatening smirk was not an isolated snapshot. It went on and on and on. Shameful. It should have never happened. I would have never put my kids in that position. More, picking up on Adam and Lindsay's points. Where are the parents and the chaperones? 30 boys with an hour kill would be dicey. These boys were verbally challenged, calling them slurs, so they chanted school songs. Seems reasonable. Well, they did that mainly, but there were some other comments reported too. So, to say that means the whole school is this way, no. The instigators were the other group, but some of the other points I think raised here in this conversation I think were very, very valid. Okay, we're late. We got to go. The topic was absolutely worth discussing. You can keep the text coming. Traffic, weather, and Jamie won't come back. Jamie joins us. I thought you were in town this weekend. I was tracking you down. I have my private detectives. I was trying to get you out and boozing with us. And you're like,
I know.
You're like, no, yeah. Leave me alone. I talked to you on Tuesdays briefly.
Not true. I had some stuff here back in LA that I had to get back for. So usually I do, we completed some of our work on Thursday. Generally, I do stay the weekend, but I headed home on Friday so I could get my life back in order here in L.A.
And is it back in order?
The laundry's done.
What is the key? What is the key to your laundry? Because I'm very bitter. I just purchased a shirt, and I think I didn't read the label. The shirt shrunk.
Oh, no.
The shirt shrunk. I mean, you talk about first world problems. We might do an hour, 2 to 3, on my blue shirt that's
wrong. Yeah, well, no, it is disappointing, right? Especially if you only wear it like a few times.
Once.
And then you throw it in and, yeah, exactly.
I wore it once.
It's such a waste because you're probably excited about the shirt and,
I was tingling. I mean, I was ready and then it's done. All right. Do you want serious? Do you want nonsense? What do you want?
Can we do a little bit of both?
Both. Okay, let's do serious right away. You obviously spent a lot of time covering Jamie Claus,
yes.
Jake Patterson, Barron, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report coming out that this individual had people over at this place on Christmas while Jamie is downstairs.
Oof. Well, we had learned, I guess the date is interesting, but we had learned that he had had people over the entire time within that criminal complaint, including his father on many different weekends.
Right.
I guess
it's not a surprise, but it still just grabs you again, right?
Of course. And I think that's probably one of the biggest questions. You know, I've been in touch because there could be additional charges out of Douglas County. I think that's one of the biggest questions that we have left is what do those charges look like and will they involve other people? And I can tell you that I've specifically reached out to the Douglas County prosecutor and said, are these going to only be additional charges against Jake Patterson or will they involve other people? And he has said, I cannot clarify at this point. So I think that is a question mark. Did anybody else see her? Did anybody else meet her? Did anybody else hear anything, see anything, suspicious and just ignored it? Or what happened here?
Does it surprise you that we don't have those charges out yet?
Not really, because, if you look at it, once they found Jamie, I think it was pretty easy in terms of what we found out in the criminal complaint for Barron County to file the charges they did in terms of burglary, kidnapping, and murder. Those were, based on the criminal complaint that was taken almost immediately, both of their stories lined up. It was very easy to get the charges in. If you now in Douglas County, first of all, I don't know how hard they pushed Jamie that first night. Do they need to re-interview Jamie about her time at the house? And that's a whole nother set of prosecutors. It would be a whole new set of charges in a different county. They don't cross over. It's not like the charges in Douglas County get added to the charges in Barron County. These are two separate cases.
Yeah.
And I think Douglas County will have the more complicated breakdown of charges depending on what comes out. Maybe Jake Patterson doesn't want to be as forthcoming about what happened at the house. Maybe he does want to protect people who knew about her whereabouts. Where are those people? And I think there's just probably a lot more to sift through where, unfortunately, in Barron County, it was pretty cut and dry.
I think that captures it very well, right? And we don't know. I mean, it could be tomorrow. It could be a month, right?
It
could be longer. Okay, now to the lighter stuff. Meghan Markle, according to Lindsay's insiding in the story she found, reportedly kept a secret Instagram page for her and her friends, and now they came to her and said she's got to take it down.
Really?
Yeah. Now, listen, if all of a sudden you become that big a deal, right, whether you know, you're the president, the first lady, or you're a princess.
I don't want to be either of any of those, by the way.
So if tomorrow Donald Trump called you and said, I've altered the Constitution, I'm willing to make you president of the United States, you would turn it down.
Yes. I personally have no desire or aspirations to do that.
William calls you and says, I loved you. With Chad Hartman when you would talk at 12:20. You carried him. I've dumped Kate.
Yeah,
I want to marry you.
I've had enough relationship problems. I don't need somebody like that.
You could be the queen. The queen of England.
Yeah, I don't care. I just don't care.
Wow. Lindsay, would you like to be the queen of England at some point?
No, I have a hard enough time dealing with like the comments people make about me.
Do you really want I can only imagine the stuff that gets said about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Royalty overrated. No. But it doesn't surprise you that she still was on social media, right?
No, not at all. I mean, I think the funny thing for me is I've always said if I didn't work in this job, I probably wouldn't be in social media or on it at all.
Same.
But I do see like, you know, I could see the benefit of having like my mom, since my mom lives in Arizona, my brother lives in Minneapolis, and my best friend lives in Lake City, Minnesota, and I have another friend in Florida. Like, I could see having like a small network of people that you share pictures or like events or things that you've done, but I don't need like this whole big social media following of stuff. So it's not surprising to me she'd want people to keep up, you know, that are close to her.
Where do you think, let's deal with Facebook and Instagram 1 year from now. You first, Lindsay. 1 year from now, Facebook, Instagram, those two. More popular, less popular.
Facebook owns Instagram. So.
Right, but they're different, right? And Instagram right now doesn't get anywhere near the criticism that Facebook does.
You know why? I just think it's a nicer group of people on Instagram. Like, I even find myself, you know, I may get annoyed at people's posts on Facebook. I would never comment on the posts that I think are annoying because of my job, again. But on Instagram, it's just such a positive, supportive environment most of the time.
I agree with you. I think that you seek out people that you want to engage with, whereas sometimes on Facebook, the comments just get, you know, I think you can control it a little bit better on Instagram. I'll say this, though, as someone who suffers from insane anxiety, and most of that comes from, like, my drive and my passion about my career, Instagram gets very hard for me sometimes because it is so many people posting, like, their best life. And no one has this, you know, no one's life is 110% of the time that perfect. But you post these moments of just like pure enjoyment. And I do the same thing, but sometimes I have to remind myself, like, don't get down on yourself because of someone else's success that is being promoted in this beautiful, you know, colorful photo.
While they're at their $7 million house and they look tremendous. So do we think there's more of that, Jamie? Do you think there's more of the depiction of the ideal life on Instagram and some of that envy that comes out? Whereas a lot of people looked at that in that manner towards Facebook for a long time.
Yeah, well, because I think Lindsay's right. It's like my best life, right? Like my best meal that I made or the best vacation I just took. It's like, and it's, you know, maybe it's one picture or you put it to your story or whatever it may be. It is kind of showcasing everything that's amazing in your life. I have a lot of conversation with girlfriends, I feel like, about this because I feel along the lines of what Lindsay said, it just seems to be my female friends. I'm sure men deal with the same types of things, but there is this real movement of like of being able to own that you're not perfect. And so then you're bombarded on social media with everybody's perfect life that it's very hard to go, oh, I should be better at this. Or I wish I was, you know, I don't know. It gets very conflicting, I think, very easily. sometimes just popping on and like scrolling through a feed and seeing everyone's amazing highlights.
Oh, I had it last night. I'm laying in bed and I, you know, I was in the explore page where it just kind of pops up depending on what you've liked. And there was a woman who's my age who's in the Twin Cities media world and doing something that I wish I were doing. And I got like super down on myself. And I was like, oh my God, this is why social media is terrible. Like, put the phone away. It's like 9:30 at night. And I'm just sitting there like, I'm such a loser. I'm never going to make it.
Well, and then you're not a loser.
No, but you know the feeling.
I do know the feeling, actually.
She then drove over to her house, egged her house, whacked back home and felt so much better.
Wrote so many blogs about her last
night. Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, we all have to respond in our different ways.
Well, it just is tricky, right? Because when I go to post something that I think is amazing or that I'm really happy about or whatever the case may be, I'm not thinking about the repercussions for other people, right? I'm
but
just
it,
like,
but it does
oh,
happen,
I had the best
right?
Meal.
Right? But it can happen that way.
Of course, yeah. Yes. But I think that's where, you know, you have to kind of be thoughtful. I read this study once that was interesting, that what people post to social media is actually what they're most fearful of losing.
Really?
Yeah. And if you think about it, like, I don't know. Sometimes I think, like, I post a lot of Dottie. She's 15. Yep. I do worry about her. You know, I post a lot of my family. Yeah. I post a lot of food pictures.
Maybe I post a lot of selfies.
Eat again.
Those cheekbones, every day they're just getting lower and lower.
I don't know, right? Or like, yeah.
That's a merit to it. All right, we got to go because I babbled too long before. All right.
That's okay. Have a good day.
See ya. Jamie, CBS. She's fabulous on CBS and kind enough to join us. Linda's Construction Time Check, 153. Time to create a more energy-efficient home with Season Guard windows. How about some money? Right. Amuse. Wow. We've added to the depth of our words. A-M-U-S-E. A-M-U-S-E. Amuse. 72881. 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Play along. You get a phone call. You could win $1,000 here from, it's a national contest. We play it here at CCO.
Well, I went to bed in Memphis and I woke up in Hollywood. I got a quarter in my pocket and I call you.
CBS coming up in a matter of moments. More good topics for you next hour, including at 2:35, Representative Ray Dean. We certainly have talked about the marijuana issue many, many, many times in this show for years and years. So have others. But it's even more front and center now where Tim Walz stands on it, what is taking place throughout the country. You had two candidates running for office who garnered over 5%. So we have the fact they will be on the ballot. Those parties will be on the ballot coming up for the 2020 race. And speaking of 2020, Representative Dean wants to put a constitutional amendment out there and to give us the opportunity to vote on whether recreational marijuana should be legal. Is that the way to go? So we'll pursue that with Representative Dean. And don't forget, at about 2:07, we'll get a local update from Adam Carter right here. News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.